as God may graciously be with us and bless us this morning, I will speak to you from the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul, in this verse, gives us a picture of what true religion is. You and I may read a lot about the Christian religion. We may think we understand it. But Paul the Apostle, as he tells us here, how the Lord accorded by his grace and led him and taught him himself, comes down to the great truth in the words which we have before us, which indicates to us the reality of true religion. And true religion is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything which is outside of this reality will leave us short, will leave us lacking, will leave us wanting when you and I pass out of this world. And therefore, as we are favored to have before us the Word of God and the testimony of the Apostle Paul, may we, by God's grace, examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not, while we are still upon this earth. Real religion, God's grace, is vital. The things of the world are unimportant by comparison. The Apostle Paul, by God's grace, was able to give up all the things of this world and to count them but dung that he might win Christ and be found in him, not having on his own righteousness, which is of the flesh. And so, we're not left in any doubt with regard to the reality of real religion. And therefore, as God may favour us, may we consider these words which are before us of the great importance to have an understanding. Now, these things of God are not always easy to understand, but may God give us a right understanding of such things. And the Apostle Paul here in the previous verse, the 19th verse, he says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God, I am crucified with Christ." He was dead to the law. He was dead to the law that he might live unto God. And he tells us, "I am crucified with Christ." Well now, We know that, of course, he wasn't physically crucified with Christ. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified upon that cross at Calvary, and there were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the one side and one on the other. So the Apostle Paul was not physically crucified with Christ. And therefore we may ask the question, well, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? I believe it. What it means is to be a partaker, to have fellowship, to have union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in such a position that is not something which is frothy and easy. It's to be aligned, to be numbered with our Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings. I am crucified with Christ. The apostle was willing and pleased to be aligned with a suffering Saviour. He knew his religion was centered on what Christ had done and what Christ had accomplished upon that cross at Calvary. And therefore he did not count his life dear unto him. I am crucified with Christ. My friends, do we know anything about crucifixion with Christ? Or are we happy with our lot here below? Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he says, knowing this, that our old man, that's our natural man, our natural body, our natural lusts, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man is crucified. This old flesh, this old body, crucified. Crucifixion was a very painful death. Crucifixion was really the most painful death that anyone could be called upon to endure. And that's why crucifixion was that one which God, in his infinite sovereignty, called his Son to pass through. Crucifixion. There upon that cross, an agonizingly slow death. And we, you see, today are called upon to crucify our flesh. Not to please ourselves. Not to satisfy our own nature. No, we don't have any choice. We are to follow a despised and crucified man, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Well, are we pleasing ourselves today? Have we pleased ourselves up to the present moment of time? Have we done the things that we want to do? Our own plans for life, whether they be at school or at college or at work, have we followed our own way? Have we followed our own desires? Have we satisfied the desires of our flesh? Or can we say, I am crucified with Christ? Crucifixion of the flesh. The apostle leaves us with no misunderstanding with regard to the solemnity of our spiritual life and how you and I should walk in this world. And yet, if we're honest, oh my friends, how we fail. Yes, how we pander to our flesh, how we pander to our own way, how we pander to the things that we want to do, whereas we seem to forget the great word of Almighty God, where the Apostle Paul reminds us so majestically, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's where God dwells, my friends. Where God dwells. So in his church, in his elect family. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought for the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do we live, my friends, for God's honour and glory? Or do we live for our own honour and glory? And you know, that's very quickly analysed as we look into our life and see whether we are walking rightly before the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he is the chiefest among 10,000, whether he is the one that we desire to follow, the one that we desire to honour and glorify. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, it's a big question, isn't it? Are we crucified with Christ? Are we crucified our flesh? Are we crucifying our flesh today? We got up this morning. What was our thoughts? Were they worldly, carnal thoughts? Or were they towards the things of God? And do we come joyfully here today to hear what God the Lord would speak to us? Are we on the stretch after the things of God, or are we on the stretch after the things of time? I am crucified with Christ. Now, my friends, if we are crucified with Christ, let us be clear. We should be on the stretch, by the grace of God, after the things of God. Now, the devil's a powerful foe, and he will ever try and separate between our souls and our God. He will ever bring things which attract our flesh, things which attract our mind, into our lives. My friends, if that occurs, the grace of God will make you cry out with the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am." You won't be content with a worldly thought. You won't be content with a worldly life. You won't be content with building up treasures on this earth. My friends, the Spirit of God, though it might come more and more powerfully upon us individually and collectively as a church of God, to be found living more unto our Lord Jesus Christ and less unto ourselves. You see, we all come here this morning and we're all appearing perhaps to be worshipping God, but God knows what our thoughts are even now, whether our thoughts are in the world, what we're going to do tomorrow, or what we've done yesterday. Are our thoughts counting up how much wealth we've got, or what we're going to do with this, or what we're going to do with that? Oh, my friends, the devil would have us serve him. He'd have us be content with coming to chapel and going out and just paying service to the flesh, just to appease our conscience, just to satisfy ourselves, and yet our heart is far from our God. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, that we might come down to a knowledge of this blessed experience and be able to testify, I am crucified with Christ. The things of this world do not have the attraction they used to have. No, I desire to follow Jesus. I desire to be like him. I desire to follow that pathway which he set before us in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, please not himself. Remember that word. The Lord Jesus pleased not himself. He pleased his Father. And my friends, as he pleased his Father, he was indeed crucified. Yes. And you know what a crucifixion it was. We read about it, but the Son of God, yes, came to that position as he was upon that cross at Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? For it wasn't a light thing. My friends, he bore the sins of the whole world of his people, yes. All the church of God, all the sins of the church of God were upon our Lord Jesus Christ as he suffered and as he was crucified upon that cross at Calvary. I am crucified with Christ. Well, how do we measure up to that? The Apostle Paul tells us, as he wrote to the Corinthians, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. There it was, you see. Everything became suddenly clear. Our light affliction is crucifixion, which is but for a moment. And however severe it may appear to be, the Apostle Paul was able to say his light affliction. And my friends, as God may shine into our hearts and realize what sinners we are by nature, what we deserve, oh yes, we'll say our light affliction. But then, to be able to realize it is but for a moment. But for a moment. So well, it's been going on for a good number of years. It is but for a moment in comparison with eternity. It's a very small time, our life. In comparison with eternity, our life is but a moment. A very short time. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And this crucifixion, see what it does? It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Are we worried about the weight of the things of this world? Or are we worried about the eternal weight of glory? Those things which are worth having, while we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Apostle Paul brings it into focus. He brings it clearly before us. Mortality and immortality. I am crucified with Christ. And are we therefore serving our flesh, or are we serving the Lord Jesus Christ? We need, my friends, to be clear on this. We need to examine ourselves, not just carry on assuming things will be alright, assuming we're serving God, assuming we're worshipping God. These are the important things. These are the things which bring with them blessing. Yes, for I am crucified with Christ, dead to the things of the world. Oh, my friends, you know what a favorite it is to be dead to the things of the world. And how you and I, by nature, will be very alive to the things of the world. The power of God, my friends, will make us dead to the things of the world. And as you see, we may be dead to the things of the world by God's grace. They'll leave their mark upon us. Yes, they'll leave their mark upon you and me. The Apostle Paul, he says to us, from henceforth Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The marks of the Lord Jesus following a suffering Saviour will have an effect upon your spirit and my spirit. We won't be like we used to be. It'll have an effect upon us. Yes. It'll have a gracious effect upon us. Is there a bit of change in your life and my life? Has the Lord Jesus had an effect upon us? Has been a mark? Things that we once did, we cannot do anymore. The things that we once loved to do, we don't love to do anymore. There may still be the pull of the flesh, the power of the flesh. Yes, that's where the crucifixion comes in. If your flesh wants to do this and that, what profit is there in it? Is it profitable unto God? Is it beneficial to your spiritual life? Crucifixion of the flesh. Killing, mortifying the deeds of the flesh. I am crucified with Christ. Now, my friends, you may think, well, this is a morbid subject. It's not. My friends, this is a glorious subject because it makes us more like Christ, because it has the blessing of eternal life with it. I am crucified with Christ. And therefore, you see, the Apostle Paul is able to turn immediately and say, nevertheless, I live, dead to the things of the time, dead to the law, but he lived. And it was eternal life. That's what you and I, my friends, need. This gift of God of eternal life. Nothing less will do. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, notwithstanding everything else, I live. Life. Eternal life. Oh, my friends, are we living today? Or are we still dead? We're either dead or we're alive. You say, well, I'm alive. Of course I am. I'm sitting here today. That's natural life. My friends, have we spiritual life? Are we alive unto God? Are we alive to our condition? Are we alive to our need? Our need of the Saviour. Are we alive to it? Nevertheless, I live, says the Apostle Paul. Well, are we living today? Are we alive? One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Do you and I see today? Spiritually? Have we passed from darkness to light? Are we still in a dark place? Do we still not see anything spiritually? Do we see no reason why we come to chapel? Why we come to worship God? Are we dead? We just come and sit in the seat and get up and go out? Are we dead? Nevertheless, I live. How is the Apostle Paul able to declare such a truth? Yet, not I, not his own self, his own life, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My friends, we walk by faith, not by sight. That faith is to believe the Word of God. That faith is to come to a realization that we're guilty before a holy God, and that eternal damnation is our just desert, and that we're dark, and that we're helpless, and we're hopeless in and of ourselves, and we stand before a holy God condemned to eternal death with no hope, helpless, hopeless. Do you know what it is to stand before a holy God? Helpless and hopeless. We walk by faith, not by sight. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This faith, which is the gift of God, which is the blessing of God, which is the favour of God, God-given faith, all down through the ages, this faith has been given to the people of God. So therefore, you and I perhaps may be tempted to try and reason things out for ourselves. You and I will never be able to reason things out for ourselves. We will stand amazed at the grace of God which has come to us and given us that faith to believe. So that you will, and I will have to say, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy great name, give all the honour and all the glory. My friends, our God is a jealous God. Our God will have all the honour and all the glory. You and I won't have one scrap for ourselves. No. So that Christ may be exalted in what he has done. And therefore, as you and I rejoice, not in our own life, but that which Christ has given to us, not which we've given ourselves. It's the free gift of God. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What an amazing truth. Son of God, living in us. And therefore, you see, we don't live ourselves. We're not our own. We're bought with his price, my friends. And we're fast hastening through life. I now live the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. This God-given faith. The gift of God which is given to his church. To everyone who is in the family of God. All those who come and acknowledge they are crucified with Christ. Which I now live in the flesh. That true life, that spiritual life. Have we that evidence in our souls today? That we pass from darkness to light. Light from death to life. Can we look back to a day in our life when suddenly things became different? When suddenly we realized there was a reality in the things of God. We came to that realization that we had got to stand before a holy God. The day of judgment was fast approaching. And our sins were before us. And all there was blackness and despair. And then that Spirit of God came upon us. is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Came to Jesus as I was. Didn't produce any great prayer which satisfied ourselves. We came exactly as we were, in whatever condition, whatever position, whatever location that was. The sovereignty of God came upon us. And we cried unto the Lord, a thing which we'd never done before. Maybe we prayed to a God of our own imagination. Maybe we prayed like the Athenians to the unknown God. And now we came for that helpless condition. We came perhaps like Esther as she went into the king, knowing that unless the king held out to her the golden scepter, she would be banished and perish. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But she pursued. She went in to the court, and Ahasuerus held out the golden scepter. My friends, perhaps we come to that case where we realize that we are helpless ourselves, and we come to that condition, if I perish, I perish. Yes, and we've gone in, and we found this faith of the Son of God. And we found this eternal life given unto us as this gift of God. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And then the Apostle Paul sums it up and doesn't leave us in any doubt. Who loved me? Doesn't say who I love, who loves me. It was that love of God. Who loved me? Yes, me when I was a wicked sinner. Me when I was far off from God. Me when I was going contrary to the way of God. The Apostle Paul could say it from a full heart. My friend, so could the Church of God, who loved me. My friends, can we say it today? It's Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me. He set his love upon us. He set his love upon us. Not for anything in ourselves, no. But that love of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah knew what it was. So does the Church of God know what it is. Yes. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And the effect will be, without any doubt, to humble you, to humble me at the foot of the cross. Yes. Humbled for God to realize that he, the almighty ruler of the universe, should condescend to come where we are and to who loved me. Yes. You see, it's personal. My friends, it's amazing, isn't it? Amazing love. For the Lord Jesus Christ should come where we are, as an individual, and to leave everybody else in the chapel, everybody else in the world, who loves me. Well, do we know what it is? To be loved of my God. To have been led. To be made willing, the day of his power, made willing to follow this Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life. It is the greatest thing that anybody can do, to give up one's life. Because when that life is given up, nothing else can be given. It is the greatest thing. And the law of God demanded life to atone for sin. And yet that life had to be a perfect life. And you and I have no perfection. All we have is imperfection. With no ability to do any good in and of ourselves. And therefore to come to a realization by this faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, my friends, gave himself. Nothing less. The Lord of life and glory came down and gave his life, so that we might live. Nothing less. Suffered in our place as our substitute. That which was our deserve, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly suffered in our place. Is it any wonder, therefore, that the apostle comes to this realization? To be able to say with such a wonderful fact that this God, this Lord Jesus, his blessed Saviour, had loved him and gave himself for him. To be able to say, I am crucified with Christ. Was it a small cost? I am crucified with Christ. And if we are, therefore, amongst this family of God who have been loved of our God, who our God has given himself for us. Then the apostle wrote to the Colossians and says, if ye then be risen with Christ, the Lord has called us out of nature's darkness. If, it's a big if, my friends, but we need to come on the right side. We need to be on that side of assurance, as we may trace out the Spirit's work in our soul. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Oh, what a prospect, my friends, to the Church of God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. Put to death, therefore, the evil things of the flesh. Oh, my friends, that's a battle that you and I are called upon to walk in. I am crucified with Christ to be able to mortify our body. It's hard work. It's not easy. And it's so easy to turn away and expect the blessings and yet try and follow the world. And we're setting our affections upon the things of this life, rather than upon the things of God. And my friends, we seem to be oblivious to the fact that our life is but a vapor which is vanishing in a way. Well, are we a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it our desire from our heart to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, time is hasting on. The Lord Jesus alone knows amongst us here today who are the true followers. And those who are, by God's grace, able to come and say with the Apostle Paul, my friends, it's that which you and I should desire earnestly after, to know the sovereign grace of our God, and to be able to know that we are complete in Him, and not be satisfied with anything less. Oh, my friends, that there might be, in this day and age in which we live, more spirituality, more reality in the things of God, and not so much for the things of this world. I am crucified with Christ. No one else. Not crucified for yourself. No. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And he tells us immediately, yet not I. Nothing in himself. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, God-given faith, the gift of God, of the Son of God, who loved me, amazing truth, and gave himself for me. My friends, my prayer is that we may each, by God's grace, be able to come and echo the words of the Apostle Paul here as a true experience of our souls. And if we can, then rest assured, eternal glory is ours. Amen.